Well, I'm going to do something a little different today because I'm very flexible. You want to see? Look at that. How about that, huh? You know, I came here Wednesday night, and I want to say that everything that brother Dave said today is not true about this church. I came here and I was welcomed. I came here and I was embraced. I came here and people asked me about the ministry that God has given us to do. I came here and the pastor took time with me. I came here and the pastor talked to me in the aisle. I came here and the pastor sat beside me during an open service here in the church. I had the opportunity yesterday to be with 40 people who said, I want to serve God. And I'll tell you right now, I've been charged. I've come to give, but I've been given too. And I want to share with you today, and I want you all to stand with me, and we're going to read God's Word, and we're going to have the exhortation from God's Word, and we're going to find that God is going to speak to our hearts because God is alive, and God is alive, and He's in our midst. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, notice what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 17. And when they saw Him, Jesus, they worshipped Him, but some were doubting. Now notice, and Jesus came up and He spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. And then notice what He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I will be with you always until the end of the age. Amen. Now let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord Jesus, today that we have the living Word of God in our hands. We have the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. We have the assignment that's been given to the church. We have the authority of God. We have the assurance of God. And I pray, Heavenly Father, today that You will speak. Lord, that You will share with us, Lord, the very challenge that's for Your local church here at Cornerstone. Lord, bless us, not because we deserve blessing, but bless us, Lord, because we're Your children. Exhort us, God, because we are Your children. Confront us, God, because we are Your children. Admonish us, God, because we are Your children. Comfort us, God, with Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. And by the way, I am not charismatic. But I do want to say this to you, that I do have charisma. And I want to mention this to you as well, that some people, you know, we look at a charismatic gathering and sometimes we become critical of some of the things that they do. And I want you to know that I've been with some charismatic people who have loved me in such a way that they even washed my feet. Yeah, they washed my feet. I was in the church and the church was so appreciative of the message of God, they say, we want to do something for you to show you appreciation, and they wash my feet in that congregation. I don't go out that door saying that I said that you ought to be washing feet here. But what I'm sharing with you folks, sometimes we become so rigid in our thinking that we forget that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, however, we must be biblical in our thinking. Amen. Now, I want to point out something to you in this passage of Scripture. And you see on the screen where it says, make disciples. Now, I'm a missionary, and most people, when they say, what's the message going to be about? It's usually about the same thing, make disciples. And by the way, when you make disciples, it starts right in your home. If you have kiddies, you better be making disciples. When you go outside that door, you better be making disciples. When you go across that street, you better be interested in making disciples. When you go to work, you better be interested in making disciples. When you go to class, you better be interested in making disciples. Everywhere you go, you are to be a discipler. And by the way, you cannot be a discipler unless you've been discipled. And it's imperative that you submit to discipleship. It is not an option. It is a command of God. Now notice what the Scripture says in verse 17. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some, what? Were doubtful. Now there are three things I want you to think about. And here are the three things in the rest of that passage. And the first thing is that Jesus said, all authority has been given me in heaven and on earth. We have complete authority to carry the gospel anywhere on this globe. Anywhere that you find yourself, you have the authority to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, if anybody later on would like to take me out for a Starbucks, I go there too. And I want you to know that at the Starbucks, I do a lot of discipling. In fact, right now, I'm discipling a man by the name of Byron Lamb, who paid for my last trip to go to Togo, West Africa. Byron Lamb wanted to participate with me in a trip to the mission field financially. Now, I just kind of reversed everything with him. You see, normally when a missionary goes to a church or talks to anyone about finances, the agreement is you give me money and I go. Isn't that usually the agreement? But with Byron, here's what I said to Byron. I said, Byron, you said you wanted a partnership with me. How about me partnershipping with you? And he looked at me about the way Bob's looking at me. Well, what does that mean? You want a partnership with me, but I want a partnership with you. Well, here was the deal with Byron Lamb. I said, Byron, I will take your money to go to Togo if you agree to allow me to disciple you for 1 year. Well, he took a double look, opened up his eyes wide, and he said yes. Every Monday at 8:15, I'm in a Starbucks restaurant with him, and we're drinking coffee and having a Bible study. The first time we met, he said to me, Brother Bill, would it be possible to go to my office and have this Bible study? And I said, absolutely not. He said, what do you mean absolutely not? Well, I like it right here because I see, you know, most everybody comes and goes here. And folks, every time we're having that Bible study, somebody comes and they see Byron Lamb and they come over to the table and say, what you guys doing? I have four more Bible studies and discipleships as a result of being with Byron Lamb in that Starbucks restaurant at DuPont Road and Old Avenue or Old Auburn Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. How about that? Everywhere you go, you have the authority of God. Whether it be in a Starbucks restaurant, whether it be at the McDonald's, wherever you might be, out on that parking lot, in the gathering out there, up in the booth over there, over in one of the classrooms, in the back, wherever you might be, you have the authority of God to make disciples. And I'll tell you right now, I don't back down a bit. Now, I'm going to tell you something about that. One day, somebody stopped me along the way and said, Bill, you put us on a guilt trip. And I said, amen, hallelujah. Because if this word right here in my hand puts you on a guilt trip, we did the job this morning. And if it didn't put you on a guilt trip, then you're saying amen and you're doing what the book says, right? If you're not doing what the book says, you need to be on a guilt trip. Now be careful. I want to encourage you. But did you notice that some right there, when they saw Jesus, they worshiped before Him? Did you see that? And at the same time they were worshiping Him, some doubted. And I want you to know in this crowd today, there might be some of you in this crowd today that doubt the very authority of God. Now, I know what kind of a preacher you got here. I know what kind of a pastor you have. I know about your ABF classes, and I know that you teach the Word of God. And I know that you preach the Word of God, and I know that you share the Word of God. But in this large auditorium this morning, there might be some of us that still have doubt about the authority of God. And brother and sister, we have the complete authority of God right here in our hands. And we have the blessed Holy Spirit of God that enables us to carry the message of God to the ends of the earth. Now let me mention this to you also. When they were doubting, they also doubted the assignment. What is the assignment? The assignment is, go make disciples. Now that word go in the original language ought to be translated while you are going. Now, why while you are going? Because that is a present verb, and it's a present participle, and it means continuous action. It means that everywhere you go, you make disciples. It doesn't make any difference where you are. Can I tell you a story? Say yes. Here's the story. One day, I'm with my wife, and we're on the way to the airport. We live in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and we go out the door, get in the car, and she drives me to the airport. And I said to Nancy, I said, we're now on the mission field. We're headed for the airport. And Nancy, I hate to fly. I hate to spend time in the airport. I hate to sit on those seats. I hate to be in that airplane all that time. But Nancy, I'm on the mission field. And Nancy, I want you to pray with your eyes open while you're driving, because it's dangerous if you close your eyes. You pray and you ask God, not for opportunities, but that Bill, your husband, will be sensitive to the opportunities that God has given him. And so on the way, I get a phone call. And I pull out my little hand. By the way, did you turn yours off? If you want to irritate me, you just let that thing ring where you're sitting. And man, it just, well, I should get irritated because that's sin, isn't it? So don't you provoke me to irritation, okay? All right. What happened? It's not on? Oh, rubbing against, isn't it good to have a partner? Rubbing against that and it's killing us. Am I moving too much, Bob? Oh, okay, all right. Because I can stand still, but I'll have to wave my arms then. All right. Now, what was that story? Oh, yes, I'm on the way to the airport. The phone rings. I answer the phone, and it's one of the ladies that I've been counseling. I'm a biblical counselor. You know what biblical counselors do? They use the Bible to solve problems. Amen, hallelujah. So I'm talking to this lady on the phone, and I said to her, I'm almost at the airport, and if you wouldn't mind, could I call you back as soon as I check in and get into the waiting area? And she agreed, so I checked in, got into the waiting area, and I sat down and I called her. And when I was talking to her, can I come down here just a minute? As I was talking to her, I was sitting about this far from another fellow about where Bob is. That's how close I was to that guy. And so I'm talking to this lady, and I'm talking to her about her problem. And I've determined that when I talk to people about the Scripture, even if someone else is around, I say it loud enough so they can hear it. And so I'm talking to this lady about a problem that she's facing, and I'm giving her a biblical solution. You know what that is? That's called hope. When there's a solution, folks, that's called hope. So I'm giving her a biblical solution, which is biblical hope. And then I said, now, can I pray for you? Oh, I love praying on the phone. And so I'm praying with her, and then I kick it up a notch. And so while I'm praying for her, I'm making reference to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm making reference to the hope we have in God. I'm making reference to the fact that we have a plan. I'm making reference to the fact that we have authority. I'm making reference to the fact that we can face problems in Christ Jesus and come out overwhelming, victorious in Him. When I said amen, hallelujah, amen, the guy sitting there where Bob's sitting, I was about maybe 8 feet from him, he said, are you a pastor? That's what he said to me. Are you a pastor? Now, I don't lie. So I said, no, because I'm not a pastor right now. But I am a teacher. And he said, well, if you're not a pastor, what in the world are you? And I said, I'm a teacher. I'm a counselor. And he said, well, I noticed that you're prayed. How do you counsel? And so I said to him something from the Scripture. And then all of a sudden, another guy sitting another 5 feet away, he says, how do you know that's true? And I'm thinking, man, what's going to go on here? This guy's challenged me. This guy's asked it a question. And here I am only with Jesus. And, of course, I had his authority, right? So I have the authority of God. And I turned to the man that says, how do you know that's true? And I said to him, the Bible says, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scriptures God breathe. Amen. Hallelujah. It's all breathe. And it's profitable. And it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness. So the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. And he looked at me like that. And then I said some other verses to him. Now, when that was all over, now I didn't win anyone to Christ right there, but I'll tell you what, I was a witness for him with the authority of God. And by the way, do you know who wins people to Christ? It's not you. It's not me. It's the blessed Holy Spirit of God through this word right here. Because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And if you don't open your mouth and share the word of God, they will never be saved. But it's the Spirit of God that saves the man. It's not your word, it's His word. And He's declared, my word will not come back empty. It will accomplish its purpose. Isaiah 55:11. So as I was finishing up there and we got on the plane, I sat down in my seat, and then this guy that was asking all the questions and challenging me, he walks by and he leans over and he says, hey brother, I'm a pastor. And I just did that to bait you so you'd give the gospel out to everybody here, not just to that guy. Now, that's a true story. That's a true story. Well, after that, he wrote an email to my pastor, and my salary went up. No, it didn't really go up. But he said, do you mind if I write your pastor? And I said, man, I'll give you his address right now. Would you like it? And so I gave him the email address. And when I got back to Auburn, Indiana, my pastor, he said, man, I was so blessed that that guy did that. Now, do you see the authority that I'm talking about here? Do you see that everywhere you go, you are to make disciples? You know, I could sit on these steps right here and for the next probably 4 or 5 hours tell you story after story what has happened in the airport. I think I'll tell you one more. Do you want to hear it? Just one more. This is in Sao Paulo, and I'm in the city of Sao Paulo, 20 million people, most of them lost, and I'm at the most confusing, largest airport in the world. It's a big one, but it's a lot of confusion there. I'm walking down the corridor, and as I'm walking down the corridor, I see a fellow reading a book like this. And on the front of the book, I saw the word Jesus. And then I thought, I wonder how I could talk to him. So then I remembered the eunuch, and I remember how Philip talked to the eunuch, and he said to the eunuch, remember what he said? Do you understand what you're reading? And so this guy was reading about Jesus, and I stopped right in front of him, and I said, hey, do you understand what you're reading? And you know what he said to me? He said, I really don't. He said, someone gave me this book, and he says, you know, I just believe there's a God out there, and I don't know which one it is, but someone gave me this book, and I decided to read. And I explained to him that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man come unto the Father but by him. Now, while I was saying that, there were three or four other people at another table over beside him, and when I finished talking to him, these three or four people came over to me, and they said, we're born-again believers, and I want you to know you have encouraged us, you have challenged us to do what you're doing. And then one of those guys, he said to me, he said, you know, I work in Curitiba, and I would love you to come down and teach our people how to do what you're doing. You see how good God is. And you know how that all happened? Authority. I have the authority of God's Word right here in my hand. I have the blessed Spirit of God that abides in me. He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. He never deserts me. He is with me always, even to the end of the age. Now, when we say the end of the age, for us, we don't know how long we're going to be here. But we know one thing, that person of the Lord Jesus Christ will be with us until the end of the age. Do you see the authority that I'm talking about? Now, I'm going to take a few minutes here, maybe 40. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm going to take about 10 or 15 minutes, and I'm going to talk to you about the assignment. Do you want to hear about the assignment? Say yes. Here comes the assignment. The Bible says, go make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, most Christian organizations today and many of the local churches today, they divide the ministry up in two categories. We divide it up in evangelism and we divide it up in discipleship. Can I tell you that that's not Bible? Can I share with you that when Jesus gave the Great Commission, he already included evangelism in the Great Commission? And do you know that in the Great Commission, that when he included evangelism in there, before you can teach anyone, they must be what? They must be saved, because the natural man does not understand the things of God, says Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that the natural man doesn't accept it, he doesn't understand it, and he doesn't even want it. So you cannot disciple someone if they've not been born again. And by the way, when I say born again, could I say it this way today? Born again in such a way that there's been a transformation of that life from the old to the new. We have people walking around today talking about being born again, and they don't even know what it means. They have no understanding what born again means. And born again means there's been a transformation, there's been a renewing of the heart of that man, the mind of that man, that now he has the possibilities to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And it will never happen until he's born again by the transforming power of the Word of God working together with the Spirit of God. Now, when you disciple, the very first thing you're going to do, did you notice that it says, go, therefore, make disciples, and the very next thing, baptizing them. Do you baptize unbelievers? Of course not. If you did, I wouldn't be here. I'd be evangelizing all you so you'd get saved and then get baptized. But let me tell you this. When you read in Scripture, baptizing them, before you can baptize, you evangelize. Now, there's a young man, and his name's Tom, and Tom is teaching my class today. They're in Auburn, Indiana. And he's thrilled to death to be able to teach a class while I'm gone. So Tom is teaching my class, and Tom came to me one day through another person that I led to Christ. And when Tom came to me, Tom was not a Christian. But he liked what he was seeing in this other person that I won to Christ. And this other person that I won to Christ was an Olympic champion. She has two silver medals, one for shot put and one for discus. And by the way, she's bigger than me. She's taller. She's prettier, and she's stronger. And we led her to Christ, and she works in an athletic club. And in this athletic club, she trains athletes and also rich people, because only rich people can afford to go to that. So she trains the athletes and she trains these rich people's kids. And that's how I met Byron Lamb, by the way. It was through this girl that she put Byron Lamb in contact with me. Now let's get back to Tom. Tom is also another Olympic champion. And Tom works in the same athletic club. And Tom is not a born-again believer, but he's eyes wide open looking at Becky. And what is going on with Becky? So they're out in the car one day, and Tom says, where are we going? She says, well, I didn't tell you, but now I'll tell you. We're going to go see Bill Moore. Bill Moore? What are we going there for? Well, you've been making comments about things that have changed my life. I want you to meet the guy that gave me the news that made the change. So Tom met me in my office with Becky, and Tom said, he asked a couple of questions. I said, Tom, how about if I disciple you? Now, Tom isn't a believer. But I really can't disciple him, but guess what I can do? I can evangelize him. So he came to my office, and we'd been meeting for about 6 or 7 weeks, and then suddenly it dawned on him that he was not a believer. I stayed on evangelism with him for 6 weeks. All we talked about is how to be born again. And by the way, in this book right here, do you know how many books I have right here? I've got 2 shelves right here today. I have an upper shelf of 39 books. I got a lower shelf of 27 books. And when Tom comes into my office, I pull out one of those books. And I don't bore him to death because I've got a lot of variety in here. I've got many ways that I can evangelize someone from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. In fact, I told Tom, I says, Tom, this Bible in the Old Testament talks about the preparation of the coming of the King, Jesus Christ. And in the Gospels, it talks about the presentation that he came. And in the book of Acts, it talks about the proclamation that he came. And we're proclaiming the coming of Christ and how he came and to save men. And then, Tom, it also has letters here. And these letters are explanations of why he came and what we're to do since he came. And then, by the way, Tom, the last book of the Bible is the consummation of everything that is going to take place in the future, and it's all about one person. You know who it is, Tom? It's Christ. Well, Tom, after 6 weeks, he became a Christian. Now, when he became a Christian, I had to share some things with him, and would you take your Bible now and turn to Matthew chapter 11, Matthew chapter 11. And we're going to look at a couple of verses here because I still have about 12 minutes. And so we're going to look at a couple of verses here, chapter 11, and we're going to look at verse 28. And if you, you know, if you're kind of a deadbeat this morning, you don't know what's going on, I want you to hold that bench right in front of you, because what I'm going to say to you is going to shake you all up. And if you don't hold on to something, you're liable to slip right off of that cushion. And that would be mighty embarrassing to me, but it'd be more embarrassing to you for you to slip off that cushion. Now look at chapter 11, verse 28. And here's what Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you what?
Rest.
Now, is that popular or not? Do you know how many people there in the city of Detroit that do not have rest? Do you know how many people that go to Starbucks and they don't have rest? Do you know how many people that live around you in your neighborhood and they don't have rest? Do you know how many colleagues that you have at work that do not have rest? Do you know how many students with you young people at school that do not have rest? And Jesus said, I will give you rest. That's the authority of God. Now, there's a catch to all of this. Everybody wants rest. Everywhere I go, people want to rest. Now, notice, Jesus puts a condition on rest, and this is where discipleship starts. Look at verse 29. Take my yoke upon you. What does that mean, take my yoke upon you? Jesus said, I will give you rest. You come to me and take my yoke upon you. That yoke represents total, unconditional submission to God. That means you are now putting yourself under the authority of God in your life. That means that you're sticking your neck into the same yoke where Jesus has his neck, and Jesus is going to carry the load, but before he can carry the load, you must be submitted to him. And maybe that's why some of you are tired, because you have not submitted to him. You have not taken up his yoke. You have not placed your neck in that yoke, and it's Jesus who will carry the weight of the world that you're carrying around on your shoulders today. He will carry that weight for you. But you must put your head, you must submit yourself to the yoke of God. Now, what I find that happens is that some people don't do that. Now, notice with me what else he says here. He says in that same passage, he says, take my yoke upon you. And then the next word is really important, and maybe you want to circle this one. Learn. Are you a learner? When I was 50 years old, I was in Lafayette, Indiana at the Faith Baptist Church. Brother Bill Good, he was the pastor of that church, and Bill Good hardly ever let anyone preach in his church but him. Once in a while he'd let someone preach there, but very seldom would he let that happen. Another thing that wouldn't happen in his church, no one would teach his class. He was very responsible. He wanted to preach a word. He knew it was his responsibility. And I came to his church. He knows me. I stayed in his house. And the very next day when we went to church, he says, "Brother Bill, would you preach for us today?" And then when he introduced me, he said one thing that was the greatest compliment that I have ever received in my life. And I say it to you not because I want to say, "Good work, Bill." Here's what I want to say to you. He said to the congregation, he says, "Bill is 50 years old, and Bill still is a learner." Can God say that about you? Are you still a learner? You know, some folks, they know it all. Why, when I got out of seminary and Bible college and all the rest, man, I knew a lot more than I know now, I thought. You get me? Now notice what it says here. "Take my yoke upon you, learn of me." That is in-depth discipleship. That is accountability. It's not just a Bible study. It's walking hand in hand with that person, holding that person accountable. Well, Tom, after 6 or 7 weeks, he becomes a born-again Christian. There was a transformation in his life. Now, Tom was a little bit slow about the baptism part. You know, Tom's an educated guy. He went to Indiana University. He's an athlete. He's got a body. I'll tell you what, man, he can really do a lot of stuff with his body. I'm a bodybuilder, but I do it sitting down eating pie. He does another time. Hey, you don't think I'm building anything? Look here, man, I've built a lot of stuff here. Yeah, I'm building my body. So Tom, he's not sure about this baptism thing. And then I turn to him and I say to him, "Tom, would you read James 4:17? And so he reads James 4:17, and here's what it says. "Therefore, if you know the right thing to do and do not do it, it's sin to him." And he understood all of that, and he said, "Could you give me an example?" And I said, "Well, how about baptism?" He says, "What do you mean about baptism?" I said, "Well, is it the right thing to do or not?" And he said, "What do you mean is the right thing to do or not?" I said, "Well, the Bible says that we're to baptize, so would that be the right thing to do?" And guess what he said? "Yes." And then I said, "Tom, have you been baptized?" I knew he hadn't been baptized. And he said, "No." And I says, "Tom, so what is your sin?" He looked at me and says, "You mean I'm sinning?" I said, "Well, that's what the Bible says. It's called the sin of omission. You know the right thing to do and you haven't done it. You've now committed..." "No, you haven't committed anything. You are involved in the sin of omission." And then I said to Tom, I says, "Tom, I want you to look at me right in my face. And I want to tell you something, Tom, that's really important for you." And so Tom's looking right at me. And I says, "Tom, here's what I want to tell you. Tom, if you don't be baptized and you are involved in the sin of omission, you have offended God just as much as you've committed a sin. Did you know that, Tom?" And it shattered him. It shattered him. Well, 2 or 3 weeks later, he wanted to get baptized. Now, in our church, we have a baptistry similar to that. I mean, it's up high so everybody can see. But did you hear the name of my church? It's called Lakewood Park Baptist Church. Why would we call it Lakewood Park? There must be a lake around, right? Well, on our property, there's a good-sized lake, and Tom says, "I want to be baptized, but can I select a place?" Well, that's reasonable. You want to select a place? Go ahead. He says, "I want to be baptized out there in the lake." And folks, we had one of the most beautiful baptisms out on the lake on a nice, beautiful day, and Tom went down into the waters, and I even got pictures of that. Now, why am I telling you that? I'm telling you that when you send your missionaries, you send them to do that job. Is that right or not? Say yes or no. That's what they do, right? Now, can I ask you a question? What do you do? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, now the question is, are all of us participating in that ministry of discipling others? Now, notice what it says. It says, "Take my yoke." It also says, "Learn of me." And then he says, "I will give you rest." Now, I'm going to finish with one verse. And I want you to look at it. Let me turn to Luke now, chapter 9. Luke in chapter 9. And I want you to look at verse 62. Now, before we read verse 62, let me just tell you a little bit about this portion of Scripture. There were a number of people that said to Jesus, "Let me do this and then I'll follow you." We have three occasions when different ones said, "Jesus, I will follow you, but let me do this first." Now, I'm going to tell you a story. Do you want to hear the story? Say yes. Okay, here's the story. I was in Baltimore, Maryland, and I was sitting in the home of a state trooper. How about that one? A state trooper from Baltimore, Maryland. I was in his church preaching that morning like I'm preaching here. And he invited me to his home for dinner. And we're sitting there for dinner. And he said to me, Brother Bill, he says, I want to be a missionary. But before I become a missionary, I'm going to retire from the police force. And then when I retire from the police force, I don't have to raise money. And I can go out and be a missionary. And I said, when are you going to retire? And he says, I'm going to retire in 11 years. And that's what I'm going to do in 11 years. And I said, John, congratulations. And he smiled. I said, it's pretty cool. You're going to give God the end of your life. Did you hear what I said, folks? Now, don't go out that door saying that I said that you can't serve God that way. What I'm saying is this. Sometimes we put off following God because we have our plan. And we want to follow His plan. If I would have followed my plan, I would have never wound up where I went in Brazil. Because God's plan was different for me. Now, I'm going to read the closing verse and then we're going to pray. And the closing verse is Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, and here's what it says. But Jesus said to him, no one, after putting his hand on the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Now I want you all to look at me right now. Everybody looking right over this way, everybody. Up on top, around the edges, everybody looking right here. Are you ready to put your hand on the plow? If you're ready to put the hand on the plow today, and I'm not monkeying around, I'm talking about serious business here. If you're ready to put your hand on the plow, I would like you to raise your hand and say, Brother Bill, I want you to pray for me because I want to put my hand on the plow and I don't want to look back. If you're ready to do that, you raise your hand and say, Brother Bill, I want to put my hand on the plow today. And I'm not committing myself to you, Brother Bill. I'm not committing myself to Pastor Bob over here. I'm not committing myself to this church. I'm committing myself to you, God. And I know, God, if I don't commit myself in that way, and if I look back, I have offended the holy, living God. Did you hear what I said? You have raised your hand. That is serious business. And that means that you're ready to go where God wants you to go. It could be across the street, across the city, across the state, across the nation, across the world. Are you willing to do that? Will you put your hand to the plow? Now, let me tell you something. With that hand on the plow, you're going to hit some rocks. There isn't a farmland in the world that you're not going to hit some rocks. And you're going to hit a stump, and you're going to hit a root. And you're going to have to stop, and you're going to have to do something else. You're going to have to remove that. But you want to keep your eye focused. I'm going to go to the other side. And that's what Jesus wants from you today. And that's what true discipleship is. I will go to the ends of the earth, whether it be across the street, across the city, across the state, or across the nation. I will go. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, a number of people have raised their hands. Now, Lord, I know that doesn't mean those that didn't raise their hands haven't done that. It's very possible, Lord, that the majority of this the people in this church have already done that, and they don't need to raise their hand. But, Lord, I looked out over the auditorium, and I was looking at least 20 or 30 hands. And, Lord, I don't know whether this church gives an invitation or not. I have no idea whether that happens here or not. But I'm going to step out by faith. Maybe I'm going to step across the line. I don't know. But Lord, I'm going to ask right now while I'm praying that those people that raised their hands will come down to this front, Lord. Come down to these steps with me right now. Lord, to come down so everybody can see those people that raised their hand and they're asking you, Lord, to bless them, to encourage them, and that all the rest of us in this great worship center, Lord, that we'll look upon this time today and that we will commit ourselves to pray for these people to come down front. So while I'm praying, would you come out of your place, slip right out of your place and come right down here to the front. Everyone that raised their hand, come right down here to the front. If you want to kneel, you can kneel. If you want to stand, you can stand. You do it the way you want to. Everyone that raised their hand, come right down front here. Everyone coming down. Now, as you're coming down, may I just mention this one last thing? Remember what I said in Matthew 11:28? Maybe today you are burdened down. You've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. You've never said yes to Jesus. You've been churchy. You've been religious, but you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. Would you raise your hand and say, Brother Bill, today I want to be sure. Today I want to know that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. Is there anyone like that would say, today I want to receive Christ as my personal Savior? Amen. Amen. Pastor, Would you talk to this young lady here afterwards? Anyone else that's never trusted Christ as your personal Savior? Right over here. Do we have another brother from the church who can get with this young man here after we pray and talk to him about salvation? Right here. Okay. Anyone else who would like to say, I want to receive Christ as my personal Savior today? Anyone here? Okay, I'm going to pray. And all of you folks sitting up around there, will you do this for me? Forgive me, Lord. It's not for me. It's for you. Will you do this for the Lord? Will you raise your hand and say, I'm going to pray for these folks down here. I will encourage these people to keep going forward. Would you raise your hand and say, I'm going to pray for them? Brother Bob, would you come up here, Pastor Bob? Pastor Bob, he's the senior pastor of this church. Most of you know that. And Pastor Bob is responsible for this flock right here. He's responsible for what goes on in this pulpit. And Pastor Bob, I didn't ask you permission to do this. I just did it. And afterwards, if you want to talk to me about it, send me an email, will you? Will you pray, Pastor Bob? Thank you.
Father, you have given to us the greatest message that can ever be shared. And thank you that you have given to so many people this morning such a tender heart and desire to make that known. And so I ask on behalf of, first of all, these brothers and sisters, that you will be pleased to open up such clear doors of opportunity for them even this week, even tomorrow, even perhaps before this day is over, that you will use them to just carry the water of the gospel to thirsty people around them. And Lord, you also know those that you are setting apart to just pursue a complete change of vocation in their life. The people who we need as a church to send out from us to other ministries and other places of the world to make you known. And I ask that you will just give such clear direction in their lives and give clear direction for the leadership of the church that we can see a beautiful partnership result from this. Lord, we also, for all of us, not just the ones standing here, but every one of us, we know that we have been called by you for the express purpose of making you known. Amen. And so we ask that you will just raise our level of sensitivity to the people who are hurting, the people who are not at rest, who are all around us. And I pray that we will be a people who are so obsessed Amen. With Jesus Christ, just so at rest in Him, that it becomes just so natural, because it is so true. Amen. To speak of Christ and the gospel and to bring that hope to others. And for this one who has expressed a desire to know you as Savior,
yes.
Lord, I ask that you will be pleased to just open the eyes of her heart and just help her to really come to faith and to know life and life forever.
Amen.
In whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.